We're going to be talking about being called out. And I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And we'll read this. 1 Peter 2, 9. And it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we just do thank you. Thank you for calling us out, for being a God that chooses us and makes us a chosen people. We pray that you'll be with each one of us and be with me as I bring this message this evening. Thank you for all that you do for us, and pray that we might go forward and this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing I was going to talk about, I was going to talk about being called out. Now, I don't know about you. When I was in high school, I was in a class. It was when I was a senior in school. It was the last hour class, and it was Mrs. Brammer's advanced composition class. And Mrs. Brammer, by the way, was my cousin. And but for some reason, all the kids in there were the people, kind of the movers and the shakers in the school, and they were. And that was the time of day at school where every day people would call on the intercom and they'd say, "Can you send so-and-so out? Can you send Mark Philp out? He's on the, let's say, Future Teachers of America Committee. We want him to come out." And Peg Wendling, call her out also. And I never got called out. I didn't do anything. That was part of the problem. I was not very involved. I'd been in band, basically band, and things like that. But I didn't stay in. I was too lazy to stay in. I didn't like to stay after school, and so I didn't do too well in the athletic, like football and wrestling. I was in wrestling and football, but I just never did practice like I should. And also, I didn't get involved. I was too backwards and actually scared to get out in front of people and talk. Some of those people were on the committee for the, they were student council people like that. They were the people who got up and talked and stuff like that. And like I say, I don't know how I ended up in Miss Brammer's class, but there again, she was my cousin, so it might have had something to do with it. But, it was a sort of thing. Well, I remember saying to myself, I wish I could get called out. In fact, it got to a point where some of these people, there was a kid by the name of Dennis Seib, and his parents were, they had a foreign exchange student that year, and that was a big deal. And he was involved with, it was a big athletic, he was on the letter club, and that sort of thing. And he got called out all the time. And a couple of other these people, Mark Philp also was another one. And got to where they got called out so much, they didn't even want to go. They'd say, "No, I don't want to go. I'm going to stay here." Or, in some cases, they got up and wandered the halls of Central Lee. And I know that's hard to believe that people would do that, but it does happen. And so they would go out, and I'm sitting in the classroom every day and listen to Miss Brammer talk. And so one day, at the very end, I did get called out. And it was basically what they did was, it was like the last week of my senior year in school, and they wanted me to take an aptitude test. They really didn't know where I fit in. I guess I didn't know where I fit in either. But that's what they had me do. Me and Dennis I, both of us, went down, and we took this aptitude test. So I was finally called out. And you know what? Each one of us, if we're Christians, as it says right here in 1 Peter, we've been called out. And so we need to think about that. Now, I've done a lot of, reading my Bible, and I try to figure out what God wants. And one of the things I've always kind of wondered was, for a long time, about the role of the church. And so I went ahead, and I always like to look at Revelation. Now, I had a pastor one time to tell me that if you want to get a lot of people in your church, what you do is you go out to the front and you put on that sign out there, we're talking about Revelation. And you'll get a lot of people at your church, but they just want to hear about the prophecies. What I actually have always been interested in, and been interested in, because this is talking about us now and here as Christians. It's talking to the churches, seven churches of Revelation. And I know it's been talked about a lot, but there's a little bit different perspective, I hope, here that I have. And so I just wanted to talk about what these churches were about and all the different things they were. First of all, one thing we've got to remember, you know, I remember that a lot of times what happens is you hear about, oh, what a terrible thing it was what Laodicea was like, and how great Philadelphia was, you know, and it was too bad there's Smyrna. I knew a church that was named Smyrna because people appreciated those churches and the things that God talked about in chapter 2 of Revelation, if you want to turn there. And so I want to talk about what we need to remember, that these were all churches. They were all congregations of people that are called out. And it does say here that this is Revelation 1, verse 20. And it says in Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So they were churches. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, well, none of them are there anymore. That's true. Actually, there's some churches around that were going churches when I was a child that aren't there anymore. Churches have a tendency to change. And actually, this is what this whole thing is about, is Christ talking to these different churches about what they do right and what they do wrong. And I think sometimes what we want to do is just look at what these churches did right and wrong, and we're commended for, and we're told about the things that they were doing wrong. So let's go ahead and look at some of these things. One of the things I first noticed when I went through this, I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 1. And this is Ephesus, and it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seventh golden candlesticks. I know thy works. And usually that is where somebody that's preaching on this says, see, Ephesus had works. Yeah, they did have works. In fact, if you read through here, every one of these churches, all the seven churches, was commended for their works. But apparently that isn't everything. There's other things besides works. It's good to have works, and that is something that we see in a church. And if you got a going church, you're going to have people out there working. And thank goodness we have a church here that is working. We see all the people that are involved. The more I've got involved with the church, the more I've seen the people that are involved. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that I didn't even know were in here during the week. And they're in here working, they're in here doing things. And but that doesn't make you a church, or it doesn't make you a viable church, because some of these churches, God was saying, I'm going to take away your candlestick if you don't change some things. And it wasn't had to do with the works. It had to do with some of the other things they were doing wrong. But in fact, I'm going to read Revelation 3, 14 and 15. And if you turn over there, and it says, we're going to talk about Laodicea. Everybody says, Laodicea, that's the bad church. That's a church you don't want to be in. And it says, and to the angel of the church, and by the way, that church is a word that's translated from ecclesia, which means called out. All these people were called out. Everybody in this church was called out, or at least some of the people in the church were called out. And the church of the Laodiceans write these things with the amen. We won't go into that. But in verse 15, it says, I know thy works. We'll stop right there. They had works even in Laodicea. They did things there. And everybody always said, you know, how this was the bad church, you know, Smyrna and Philadelphia were the good church. Well, they had things that they were doing. So all church, well, the other thing I would mention is all churches have good things going on in them and bad things. And one time when we were in Florida, we were going to a church, and it was a small church trying to get on their feet, and there were some people there that were causing problems. And there was one guy in particular who was not happy about the way things were being run, and it looked like he was going to cause a church split. And we went to a meeting one night, a business meeting, and we knew he was going to start causing problems. And what he was unhappy about was they had they'd go down and eat every Wednesday night, I think it was, or Sunday night. Maybe Martha remembers. Was it Sunday night? Yeah, Sunday night. They went down and ate, and everybody went down and ate, and brought. And some people kind of got tired of it, to be honest with you. And so some people were like, "We're tired of this." They thought a certain people in the church were making them do that, and he was one of them. And one of the things he was saying was, he got up and made a little speech, and he talked about where there is no unity in the church, the spirit is not there. And he said this about 3 or 4 times. And finally, I raised my hand and I said, "Do you have chapter and verse on that? That's not in the Bible." And when you think about it, every church has their problems. Every church has something that, you know, doesn't go right. But we have to be able to say, okay, is this the church for us? And he actually got up, and he had several people that were leaning towards leaving, and he actually got up and left. And I said to him later, I said, "Okay, if you find a perfect church, let me know. But it won't be perfect because imperfect people are there." So we need to realize that this is the sort of thing. We know that these 7 churches had problems. We know these 7 churches had good things. Every one of them were commended for something. And so we just need to look at them and say, how does this work out? So here's some other things that were mentioned in the seven different churches. Some of them I've put together, and some of them I've separated according to each church. But like I say, every one of those churches had works. They had people out there working. And then they had labor that was mentioned, patience. I think this was all in Ephesus. Can't bear evil. In other words, if somebody came in and was causing problems, and I've been in churches where people come in and cause problems. We've had to do discipline in churches. And they were willing and able to do that. They tried apostles even and found the ones that were false apostles. And hate is also mentions that they hated the Nicolaitans. And I suppose if you look down through here, you'll see these things. And we don't even know who those people are. We don't know what, as far as I know, you could ask Pastor, but I'm kind of under the understanding that we're never told. But, you know, in a way, that's a good thing, because we can't say, "Oh, well, there's that guy." People that are causing problems in the church, people that are bringing in false doctrine in the church, that's what these folks were. This is the sort of people that Ephesus was very much on guard about. And they had all these good things. But we know what the bad thing that, or at least the main thing that they forgot their first love. They got so involved with making sure nobody snuck in that was causing problems. Nobody snuck in that had, you know, was less than perfect. That they really just they lost their love of God because it was tough, and the people they got to where they didn't trust people, and so they had forgotten their first love. And that's one of the things that's really, really hard in a church, I believe. The churches I've been in and the different ones. Let's look at the book, Church at Smyrna. They had gone through tribulation. Well, I don't think any of these churches that I know of around here, I don't know too many churches, gone through tribulation. But as you and I both know, it's a possibility that could happen. And we could be facing that. We've had it in the past. I don't know anybody that has had any real problems, but we hear about them, especially in foreign countries. But here in the United States, we don't run into that. They also face poverty. It was a poor church. And I've been in a couple of churches that didn't have a lot of money. I know, you know, it's and it is a problem. They never have enough money. They're always worried about that. But God considered that a good thing, that they had poverty, that they weren't, because there was another church that depended on their riches. And then the third thing that I wrote down was they lived near a place where there was blasphemy. I don't know if you guys, you probably know this. When we moved here from Florida and we were moving to Seattle, they said, Seattle, in fact, my son said to me, there aren't any good churches up here. It's just so liberal. It's so, they've got all these strange religions going on up here. They've been involved, and you're not going to find a good church. And he was sure of it, and people in Florida were like that too. Of course, the problem with the people in Florida was, if you didn't like the church, you could go down to the end of the block and go to a different one the next week. And so here, you have places where you have you're facing tribulation and poverty. We're not here, but there is some false teachings in the community. There's a Buddhist place just down the road here where we'd go by every time we go home from to Maple Valley. All right, it's Hindu, I believe. There's a Buddhist a big Buddhist thing. I never saw that when I was a child. Of course, I grew up in the Midwest. But I never saw that, and I thought I never would. But now, it's very common. And you say to yourself, and it's the sort of thing that these folks were facing also. Pergamon actually was talked about their works, but also the fact that they were dwelling near Satan's seat. And there again. And they had martyrdom in that church. People had been martyred, had been killed for their beliefs. So those are the sort of things that these churches were facing. We don't have these problems yet. Thyatira, which is interesting, it showed charity, which could be interpreted as love. And they had service and faith. And actually, they were mentioned twice. It was mentioned that they had works. And it said your works at the end were even more than they were at the beginning. But they had problems. We'll go to that here in a few minutes. We might be running out of time here. But I want to read Revelations 2:24 here real quick. And it says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, they had started doctrines, adopting doctrines of, I think, of Balaam, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put open upon you no other burden. These people had the blasphemy. They had problems with who they were around and what they were starting to believe a little bit. Sometimes you're surrounded so much, it becomes common knowledge, and it's just in the people that are around you, the whole society, and you don't even realize it's out there. And then we go into chapter 3, and we talk about the church that was in Sardis, and it said the works were not perfect. In fact, they gave Sardis was one of the ones that were very hard. They were hard on, but it still was a church because people are out there worshiping God. People are out there doing God's work. That's what apparently is what part of being a church is about. And then in Philadelphia, there again, that's one of those churches that everybody says they want to be like. Well, let's look at Philadelphia a little bit. I'm going to read Revelations 3:7-8. And it says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. They were so weak as a church, the door had to be open. They couldn't go through it by themselves. These folks, even though they talk about how good it is, they had problems with the synagogue of Satan again, but they also, they just were unable. They didn't seem to have any strength. They didn't have any power of their own because they, for whatever reason, weren't willing to go out there and work. Now, you guys are the wrong people to be talking about stuff like this. You're the people that are here on Wednesday night. You're the people that are doing things. But we need to be reminded of this, that this is what we are facing. We're facing the same thing that they face at that time. And it says, you have a little strength, keep my word. This is what Jesus said to Philadelphia. And you have not denied me. And then we go to Laodicea. There again, the one that everybody says, we don't want a church like Laodicea. Well, what was the problem with Laodicea? Let's go down and look at I've got it, verse 19. And it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know what? If you start showing a little bit of interest in the church, interest in doing the things that are right, and repent. And the word repent means basically just means turn around or think differently about. You need to start thinking differently about your church and what you do, and get more involved. I'll be honest with you. I've been in both places. I have been at times where I wasn't involved. I wasn't doing things. And then I've been in places where I got involved, and guess what? I liked it a lot better. I like it a lot better when I'm involved. I feel like I'm involved here. But we need to know what those are. Now, real quick, we're going to look at the end of this. The things that churches do wrong. First of all, they forget their first love. We talked about that before. Smyrna, they showed fear. Pergamon. They held a different or a wrong doctrine of both the Balaam and Nicolaitans. Thyatira, they'd allowed a woman to run the church. And that happens quite a bit from what I have talked to pastors in the past. Certain women get involved and basically they're kind of running the church from behind. That is something that is condemned. Sardis had a reputation that they were alive, but they were dead. You know, some churches are like that. They've got all the programs, and they can get a lot of people out to the church. But what's going on? Are people being saved? Are people working differently? There's my alarm. So, let's see. We'll go over these last couple. They don't repent. Oh, okay. Two more. No strength. This was Philadelphia. They're just biding their time. I've been in churches where people just go and sit in the pews and go home, come back, go home. They're biding their time. There's no strength there. And then the last one is Laodicea. And as we know, it was lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. They were just, there again, they were just kind of lukewarm. Nothing, no self, strength of their own. But you know what? It also says that they were self-important. They said, we're rich. There again, sometimes having a lot of money in a church and a lot of people and a lot of things is a bad thing. And that's what they found out here. I think my time's up. I'm going to go ahead and end with a word of prayer, and then we'll let Pastor, if he wants to. Dear Lord, we just do thank you for this word that you brought this evening. Pray that each person takes it home with them and thinks about it. Pray that you'll be with each one of us. Help us to understand where we are. Each one of us are called out, And each one of us have a role to play, Lord. And we pray that you'll help us, help this church. Thank you so much for the church that we have here and the good things that we see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.